Okay, last week we spoke about doing something in someone's property, which causes the property values to fall, not because any damage is being done, just because of the ugliness of the project. And we saw that according to Tom Sofer, he held, based on the Tshuva Sarash, just during the Rush, that is called a taina, that if someone does something in his property that makes all the neighboring houses go down, that's called a hezek, that's called a damage, and you can stop it. The other Achronim disagreed with the Chassam Sofer, and they said the Rush said there's no problem unless in the beginning they each pay different prices for it. But if everyone paid the same amount for something, and then you want to do something that causes the prices to go down, and they can still use their property in the way they always could, it doesn't hurt them, it doesn't stop them from using the property, it's just that for some reason people don't like it and the price goes down, that's not called a hezek. That seemed to be the consensus of the poskim, unless, of course, we said, unless it was the case where the chachila, they paid more to get such a property, or we said that if it really is causing some harm, a little bit of harm, but not enough to normally cause halacha, like we said, if it's some smoke. So normally it has to be a lot of smoke to be ushered to do next to the neighbors. But if it's the type of smoke that makes the prices go down, so that's a siman that this is really like a kutra beis hakiseh. So in that case, we said that also would be problematical. Tonight we're going to talk about another issue which potentially could cause prices to go down. And there are other issues with it, and that is, unfortunately, it happens sometimes. There are different tikufos, there are different periods in the history of a city where neighborhoods change. And what happens if a neighborhood changes? So there are always a few people leave. And what I mean change, I mean that it changes, not I mean from Litvish to Hasidish, I mean that it changes that the people, not Jews, move out for some reason and non-Jews move in, nothing over non-Jews except, you know, then the minyan becomes shvach and it's not the shuls aren't so good anymore and there are no friends for the children and people want to start moving out. Now, once it's changing for the worse, the question becomes, can you have a limited amount of people you want to sell the house to? You're not going to sell it to too many Rosh Yeshiva if everyone else is moving out. So the question of the night is, if the neighborhood is really changing and you can't find a Jew to sell your house to, is there anything wrong in selling the house to someone who's not Jewish? And the corollary of that question is to sell someone who might be Jewish but not be Shomer Torah Mitzvah, someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs properly. Is there anything wrong in selling a house to such a person under the circumstances when there doesn't seem to be a choice? And when there is a choice, is there anything wrong? Is there any halacha? What are the halachas about if you want to sell your house? Now, what has to do with what we spoke about last week is some people, when you sell your house to them, that makes property values go down. So is there going to be any problem, additional problem, of the property values going down? Can you stop someone from, can the neighbors stop someone from selling their house and say, look, if you sell to that person or that organization, a halfway house, something that's bad for the neighborhood, you know, the rehabilitated prisoners from murder, you know, the murderers, when they get out of jail, they go to a halfway house and they put him in down the street. Can the neighbors stop such sale from occurring in their neighborhood? Okay, so as always, we'll start with the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Gemara Bava Kama, Kuf Gedala, Mid Aleph, the similar Gemara is in Bava Metzia, Kuf Ches. Bava Kama says like this, Amar Rav Ashi said, Hai Bar Yisrael, if there's a Jew, the Zavin Le Ara Le Ove Kechavin, and that he sells a house to an Akum, Akum is someone who worships idols, a Mitra, I'm assuming that he's not Jewish, a Mitra de Bar Yisrael Chare, on land belonging to another Jew. Right? You had two Jews living side by side. One Jew wants to move out, and here we're talking about fields, but the same halacha, according to most poskim, applies to houses. And you have two Jews side by side. One wants to move out, and he wants to sell his house to an akum, to an idolater. So the halacha is mishamtinamai. We put him in cheirim for doing such a thing. My time, the Gemara asks why. If you say that there's a halacha called bar metzra, we're going to have a shiur about that next week. I think that's what we're going to be doing. There's a whole section in halacha called bar metzra that if I want to sell my house, I have the obligation. Well, I don't have the obligation. If I want to buy a house from a certain house for sale, I have an obligation to be a nice person and let the next door neighbor have first dibs on that house. Right? Because for him, it's important to have a house next door to him. So I, as a buyer, we'll learn more about it next week, have an obligation to allow the next door neighbor to have first, especially we're talking about like a semi-detached house. And one Jew's living on one side, someone's living on one side, and the next door goes for sale. So I shouldn't go run and buy. I should ask the next door neighbor first, so are you planning on buying the next house, the house next door, so you'd be able to cut through and have one big house? And he asked first, right? That's called bar metzah. Dinah de bar metzah. It's halacha we'll learn about next week, that you have to let that person have first rights. So maybe you'll say that's what's going over here also. We're going to, this Jew is selling his field to an Akum next door to another Jew. So we put him in a Sheirim. Why? Let's say because dinner de bar metzah, because he should have been selling it to another Jew. He should have sold it to that neighbor, not because the Jew, nothing to do with the Jew, non-Jew. He should have sold it to the neighbor. So he'll have one big field. It's good to have one big field instead of when you have that opportunity. So ine mishum dinner bar bar metzah, that's why we put him in Sheirim. But that's not true. Because we learned zavin me'ovei kechavim. Someone buys a field from an akum, v'zavin lo'ovei kechavim, or he sells a field to an akum, leka mishum dinah de bar metzah. There's no halacha of bar metzah in such a case. The Gemara explains the reason why in bar metziah. So that's not the reason. We'll talk about that more maybe next week. So what's the reason we put him in chayim here, where he's selling his field that's next to a Jew? And he sells it to a Nakam. What's wrong? Ella, the reason is Daminale, because the owner of the property next door can tell the seller who's selling his property to an Akum. Arba is Liarya Amitroi. By you selling it to this Akum, you're putting a lion at my border. You're putting me in a disadvantage. Now in what way? Lions usually think that they're going to eat you up. And I mean, it's going to be dangerous, physically dangerous. But most poskim, we'll see clearly the Marsham hold that it's nothing to say that they're dangerous, that an Akum is dangerous. It's a practical reason. The practical reason is that we spent the whole year learning 28 shiurim on 29 shiurim on dinim of nitzkei shcheinim, the halachas. If you have neighbors, what happens if there's different types of things that could bother you and different ways of dealing with neighbors. And we have the Chazanish and the Nesivas, that two neighbors live together, there's certain rules the Chachamim made so people can live peacefully together. Now if you sell it to someone that doesn't keep those laws, like to an Akum, so you're going to be at a disadvantage, because if it was a Jew living next door, you could take him to a Din Torah and say, look, he's fertilizing, like we spoke, he's fertilizing his yard and it smells so bad that it's like a Beis HaKisei, it's like a bathroom, and I can't stay in my backyard. And we learned that in many circumstances. We stopped that neighbor from doing that. But if it's being sold to someone who's not Jewish, I can't take him to a Din Torah. He'll say, you know, Din HaKusa, it's a free country and I can do what I want and I don't care about you. So that's what the Gemara says, that if you sell it to someone who is a Ovei Kechavim, who an Akum, who's not going to listen to our halachas, it's like putting a lion. You're putting someone who's potentially damaging to that neighbor. And the Gemara says, Meshamtin Alei, therefore we put this person in Cheirim, Adi Kabel Alei Kol Onsa Gazi Mach Masei. He has to accept upon himself, once he sold it, we don't force him to renege on the sale, we don't force him to buy it back, the sale is a sale, but we put him in Cheirim until the seller accepts upon himself that if any damage comes to the next door neighbor because of this buyer that he sold it to, he's going to compensate him for any damage. That if you know, go to a Din Torah and say, look, he damaged my yard and I had to pay for it because we had to go to civil court with the person you sold it to. Now let's go to a Din Torah. What would have happened if you sold it to a Jew? What would the halacha have been? The halacha would have been that I would have won. So therefore, we put this seller in chayim until he accepts upon himself to compensate the next door neighbor for any loss caused by his sale to a not proper person. That's the Gemara. How to come out of Shulchan Aruch? So Chanarav says like this, Kuf Ayin Hei Simen Mem, in the halachas of Metzranus, HaMokher La'akum, if someone sells his field to a guy, Oh Socher, or he rents it, Oh Socher, or he rents it to, Mishantin Oso, we put him in Cheirim, Ashi Kabbalo Kol Onesh Yavamei Ha'akum, we put him in Cheirim until the seller accepts upon himself any damage that will come from this Akum, Ashi Yinhog Ha'akum in Ben Meitzah Shalob Edina Yisrov Akol, until the Akum, for some reason, will agree to act with the neighbor according to Jewish law. If he doesn't do that, the seller has to accept upon himself any loss the his former neighbor will incur. The unsober davish logit in Yisrael, and if this neighbor is forced to pay something that would not be according to Jewish law, mishalim hamocher, the seller has to pay, and that is the din of the Shulchan Aruch. And we have the Prishul that we spoke after the Gemara. This is only talking after the fact, but certainly the Chachila, it's not a right thing to do. Right? The Gemara is not saying, well, if you want to sell your house to Akum, it's fine as long as you tell your former neighbor, don't worry, I'll compensate you for any damage that's going to happen in the next 50 years. Why is that? Because he'll say, look, I don't want to have to worry about, you know, losing in court, in a civil court, to this Akum you sold to, and then I have to come back to you and to take you to the Din Torah and get the money back. But it's also to do that. The Prisha says, Yisrei Tshuva says, everyone paskins that it's, you know, there's some compensation you'll get, but it doesn't mean that it's the right thing for the seller to do. If the seller is living next to a Jew and he wants to sell his house to an Akum, we will tell him it's also for you to do that. If he does it, so then we put him in Cheirim until he accepts upon himself to compensate the Jewish neighbor for anything he's going to lose by having to live with someone who's not going to keep the Jewish halachas. Right? So that's something to keep in mind. We already have a little bit answer to what we were talking about, that if someone wants to move out of the neighborhood and his neighbor is a Jew, he is not allowed to sell the house to an Akum because he's putting his Jewish neighbor at a disadvantage. Any Din Torah that will come up will not become a Din Torah, it will become a civil case, and he has to accept upon himself any loss that the neighbor will incur. Now the Marisham says, why talk about an Akum? The same thing will be if you have a Jew who is a bandit, you have a Jew who's a mobster, you can't sell it to a Jewish mobster either, because anyone that's not going to listen to a Din Torah, you have the same halacha. Right? We're not being discriminatory here, racist or anything. We're saying that the reason you can't sell it to an Akum is because he's, and I'm not saying because of the tape recorder, and the Marsham says this, right? The reason you can't sell it to an Akum is because he's not going to keep Dinei Torah, and you're putting the Jewish neighbor at a disadvantage. So the Maharsham says the same thing over here. You sell it to someone who's a mobster who doesn't listen to Dinei Torah, so he has the same halacha. He's not going to submit himself to Din Torah, so it's the same halacha. It could be the same thing. I was just looking right now. I didn't have a chance to see the whole Shuvah. The Shuvah's Maranach has a shayla by a Karoi. That's, can you sell it to a Karoi? The people that only kept Torah Shebiksav, they didn't accept upon themselves the Pesachim of the Chachamim. Right? Not that they're a mobster, they just don't believe in Torah. Right? Someone who nowadays, a Tinik Shanishpa, could be the same issue. If you will sell it to a Tinik Shanishpa who's not going to listen to a Din Torah, that also would be usher, because you're going to put your neighbor at a disadvantage. It's halacha lemaisa. However, there's a couple ways out. I have one here from the Buchacher, the Kesef HaKadoshim says, and I don't understand it so well, but he says, I didn't see anyone even bring it, but he's just to set the record straight, give a complete story. He says that this doesn't apply to our houses. This only applies in the times of the Gemara, where everyone lived in a courtyard, and that's where you have a lot of different things coming up. But if you have nowadays, like our houses, if you have houses that are side by side and they don't have a shared courtyard, everyone has their own front yard that goes straight to the street. So there he says, this halacha won't apply, because what damage is going to come from a neighbor next door who's not going to keep halacha? You're going to, anyway, you have your own property. And that's what he says, it doesn't apply. Now, I don't understand that, because a lot of halachas that we learned this year do apply, even if you have your own separate backyards. Like if someone wants to make the case we just said, a fertilizer, and he wants to fertilize his yard right next to yours, even though you have your own private yard, but he's damaging you next door. So I don't know, that's something that he says. But there's going to be a better kula, a kula that's more practical. And once again, like I always say, if you ever want to do it, ask a shayla first. Okay, we're trying to ask a kasha on this whole halacha from a Gemara in Baba Basra. We spoke about it briefly in the past. The Gemara brings a braisa in Baba Basra, Chapalach, Amid Aleph, I have on the first side of the handout. Mishayesh lo bayis b'chatzar hashutfin. If you have a house in a shared courtyard, which is the normal way things were in the times of the Gemara, if someone has a house in a shared courtyard, Hareza lo yaskirenu, he is limited to who he's allowed to rent it out to. He's not allowed to rent it to lo le rofe, not to a moel, the way the Rishonim learned it, lo le uman, not to a bloodletter, lo le gardi, not to a weaver, lo le sofer Yehudi, not to a Jewish teacher, lo le sofer armoi, and not to a non-Jewish teacher. Why can't you? Most of these things are because it brings traffic into the neighborhood, and you're not allowed to do something that brings a lot of traffic into the neighborhood. We spoke about this in Nogay, opening up shuls and schools in neighborhoods in the past, and this is just part of that sugi over there. And the Brisa asks, how come you say you can't open up it says you can't have a Jewish teacher. We said that you could open up a school, so we said that's talking teaching Torah. Here's talking teaching non-Torah subjects. But anyway, look at the Gemara. The Gemara, the Brisa is saying, you can't sell, if you have a house in this courtyard, you can't sell it to a non-Jewish teacher. What's that mashma? That's mashma, that if he's not a teacher, he's just a private citizen, he's not going to open up a school in the courtyard, you're allowed to sell it to him, even though he's not Jewish. So how's that jibe with the Gemara Baba Kama, where we said clearly that Rav Ashi said, you're not allowed to sell your house, or your field, to someone, to Akum, when then your next door neighbor is a Jew. Right? We just went through this whole halacha, that we said that if your neighbor's a Jew, you're not allowed to sell to an Akum because he's not going to keep Dinei Yisrael, Dinei Torah, it's going to cause him a damage, just like a lion next door to him, potential damage. And here the Gemara, the Brisa Baba Basra is saying clearly, it's a diuk, but it's clearly, it's a clear diuk that the only time you can't sell it to an Aramoi, to someone who's not Jewish, is if he's going to be opening up a school that's going to bring traffic into the neighborhood. But if he's just a private citizen, you could sell it to him, even though he's not Jewish, even though he's not going to be keeping the Dinei Torah. The Rishonim asks this kasha, Tosfos asks the kasha on the spot, the Rashi asks it three places. So Tosfos answers that we're talking about two different cases, which and that could be very nogeya. Tosfos says that when the Gemara says, when the bright is mashma, that you can sell it to an Akum, that's talking where a Jew is not willing to buy it. There's no Jews who want to buy it. It's like we said, the neighborhood is changing. No Jew wants to move in. So in that case, Tosfos says, from the Braisa, in that case you can sell it to someone who's not Jewish, as long as it's not going to be something that's going to cause immediate damage of traffic, like he's a teacher. But if it's someone who's just a regular private citizen, you can sell it to him even though he's not Jewish. He's not going to keep Dinei Torah, and it's going to be a problem somewhere down the line. So Darkei Mishpa, the contemporary, explains it earlier, they will say a similar thing. It's because it's not for sure if you sell your house to someone who's not Jewish, it's going to be damage coming out from it to the neighbor. Which has a possibility. And because of that possibility, the Chachamim say, don't do it, and if you do it, they put you in Chayrim until you accept upon yourself all the damage that's going to accrue to the neighbor next door. But it's only a possibility, and if you have no choice, there's no Jew to sell it to, no Jew wants to move into your house because it's too small or because whatever reason it is, you can't find any Jewish buyer, in that case you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. That's what the Tosfos answers. And the Rosh adds, Tosfos doesn't say this, but the Rosh adds in two of the three places, the Karban HaSadim asks someone why he only says it in those two places, but anyway, the Rosh adds, it's mashma from Tosfos. Like Tosfos says that the Jew doesn't want to buy it. Suppose the Jew does want to buy it, but the non-Jew is willing to spend more money. So there also, the halacha is, if the Jew is not willing to give as much money as the non-Jew, so then you can sell it to the non-Jew. However, the Rosh says that's only talking where the Jew is not willing to pay market value. He's trying to get a bargain. And the only one that's willing to pay market value is the Akum. So in that case, the Rush says, you can sell it to the Akum, even though there is a Jewish buyer. But the fact that he's not willing to pay market value, so in that case, you can't sell it. In that case, you could sell it to the Akum. But suppose the Jew is willing to pay market value, and the Akum is saying, I'm going to pay you $500,000 for your house, because he wants to blockbust, or for whatever reason he wants to. But he's paying more than market value, and there is a Jew willing to pay market value. So in that case, you have to sell it to the Jew. You could have made more money selling it to the Akum, but it's usher, and you could do a lot of things that are illegal and make money, and that will be one of them. So that's the way the Rush comes out, that even though we're saying that there's a heter, that when there's no Jewish buyer, or there's no Jewish buyer who was willing to pay the same price as the Akum, you could sell to the Akum, that's only when there's no Jewish buyer willing to pay market value. But if there's a Jewish buyer who's willing to pay market value, and you just found some Akum who's going to spend a lot of money for it. Now, if he's spending a lot of money, you have to be suspicious why he's willing to spend a lot of money. Because he wants to put in some halfway house or something that's not so good for the neighbors. Maybe he wants a blockbuster. Maybe he wants to do something that's not so good for everyone. So, in that case, you have to sell it to the Jew at market value. If there's no buyer, Jewish buyer, even at market value, in that case, you have a right to sell it to an Akum. This Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, the next halacha, Sif Mem Aleph. We just learned in Sif Mem how you can't sell it to an Akum. The Shulchan Aruch says like this, B'medevayim amurim, that is, they're selling it to Akum, it's only talking, when you could sell it to or rent it to a Jew, B'damim shenosin Akum, to match the price the Akum's willing to pay. Not only don't you have to sell it, not sell it if there's no Jewish buyer at all, but you don't even have to sell it to a Jewish buyer who's going to pay you less money. To which the Sma adds, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it, but the Sma adds, like the rest said, that's only where they're willing to pay market value, or Yarsamad a little bit more, but not when the Kusi is paying a lot more and the Jew is willing, paying market value. In that case, you have to sell it to the Jew. And that's, maybe there's an onor, if there's an onor by karka, but in general, it always pays to be a mensch. And one way of being a mensch is if you're moving out of the neighborhood, to make sure that your next door neighbor has a nice neighbor to sell it to. And people always say, oh, I sold it to someone nice, you know. Someone nice to them means that they paid him $20,000 more than the Nainasim, but that doesn't mean it's nice to you. Okay, so that would be easy. So far it is easy. It's always easy, you just have to keep track of the rules. So if you're talking about a next door neighbor, there's this halacha, dina de gemara, that you can't sell it to an Akum who's not going to keep the Jewish halachas, and we said the same thing to be any, even a Jew who's not going to keep the Jewish halachas because he's a mobster, or because he's maybe even a tink shenishba, you can't put that Jew at a disadvantage. We have one good exception and one shaky exception. The one good exception is if there's no Jew that's willing to buy at market value, so then you have no choice and you have to move, and there's a whole shaila, why are you selling? Is it because you really need to move for parnassah? Is it because you just want to make a weepaskin, even if it's just because you want to make a profit? You want to make a profit and run. So you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew if there's no Jewish buyer. Is it a mitzvah to do? Is it a nice thing to do? You know, it depends on the circumstances that you should ask a shayla. But choshen mishpat-wise, that's the first good exception. If there's no Jewish buyer at market value, so then you could sell it to the Akum. The other heter with the Kesef HaKadoshim said, the Bochacher said, that the whole thing doesn't apply nowadays because we have private houses with private yards. I didn't see any people bring that down, any person bring it down, but that's he says it, so once again, that's something to keep in mind if you have such a house. Now, there's another issue. There's an issue called Shachin Ra. Suppose it's a bad neighbor, someone who's going to be a mobster, someone that's really going to not just going to, because they're next door to the person, and if they ever written Torah, they're going to have problems with it. By having this person in the neighborhood, it's bad for the whole neighborhood. If anyone hears that this such a person moved in, immediately people start running and prices drop, and there's people feeling that they're not safe anymore in the neighborhood, for whatever reason it is, that you're selling to such a person, so what's halacha over there? Now, the documentation brings this Gemara about Azar, which I don't think applies, but we'll read it because it's a Gemara and he thinks it applies. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Mishnah says, or Yossi Amar, Be'eretz Yisrael, right, there's first the Mishnah starts, that you're not allowed to sell any non-Jew property in Eretz Yisrael. That's lo sechonim. You know, we can have a whole shiur on, you know, the current events, but that's what they deal with, that halacha. You know, are you allowed to transfer property to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael? So we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael now. Yossi Amar, Be'eretz Yisrael, Maskirin Lehem Batim, you can rent houses to a non-Jew, of a low sodas but not fields. So Basuria, Mochan Batim, you can sell houses, and Maskirin Sodos, you can rent fields. Of a Chutzlaritz here, in Chutzlaritz, Mochan Eilu Ve'Eilu, you can sell both houses and fields to an Akum. Now, in Choshen Mishra, you can't do it if there's a Jew next door, but here we're talking in a neighborhood. Amrav Yudah, Amrav Shmuel, the Gemara says, Halacha Krav Yossi, and Amrav Yosver, Yossi says he qualifies that halacha. There's halacha not to make a neighborhood of akums. You don't want to turn a Jewish neighborhood into a neighborhood of idolaters. How much is called a neighborhood? The Gemara brings a brisa. It's going to be the third one there, the third non-Jew in a neighborhood, whatever constitutes a neighborhood. That's a separate halacha, not to turn a Jewish neighborhood into a neighborhood of idolaters, into a neighborhood of Akum. Now this halacha is brought in Yoredeya. It's not brought in Choshen Mishra because it's talking about the halachas of Akum that we have that many don't apply nowadays because it was talking about they were really of the Avodah Zarah and the ones today aren't of the Avodah Zarah, but it is brought over there. And the Taz says the reason is, he says the reason for this halacha is because here it's a sakana. It brings a sakana for Yisraelim. I think this is different than the other halacha. The other halacha was just a monetary issue, because since this person doesn't keep Dinei Torah, the Jewish neighbor is always going to lose, and that's why we said it didn't make a difference whether it was an Akum or even a Jew doesn't keep halacha. Either way, it's going to cause them a monetary loss. But over here, we're saying it's a sakana. You're selling it to three people, and they're of the kucharim, they could make it dangerous. And based on that, not based on that, Darkei Mishpat says the same halacha that we said before should apply here also, that you can sell it to three people, there's no Jewish buyers around, but I don't think that's true, because here we're not talking about there could be a monetary loss, and therefore it's only a safek, and why should you lose if you can't find a Jewish seller? Here we're talking, you're putting a neighborhood into sakana, so there, I don't think there should be any heter to put the whole neighborhood in sakana by selling, because you can't find a Jewish seller, but you're being mazik everyone, that seems to be problematical. There's just to support that, the halacha, even though it might not be a raya from that sugya, there's a shura sagon in the Knesset Gila brings down in this halacha about who you're not allowed to sell to, that in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, the Gaonim had a shayla, are you allowed to rent your house to an akum who's not dangerous? So the Knesset Gola, the Shuvah Sagonim says, well, you have to assume that a Stam Akum could be dangerous, and therefore you could stop him from doing it. And he says the same things by a Jew. If it's a Jew is a Shochin Ra, a Jew is someone who's going to cause danger, they bring rayas from cases where you can stop some Jews from moving in if it's going to cause taxes to go up, if it's going to cause problems with the government. Certainly if a mobster, a Jewish mobster, is going to move in, a drug dealer, Rahman al-Islam, who's Jewish, and certainly if it's a non-Jew, or maybe not certainly, maybe it's certainly the other way, we'll see in a second, but if someone's going to move in who's going to be a danger to the neighbors have the right to stop him. And this is nothing to do with the next door neighbor being Jewish or not. Even if, you know, there's two non-Jews side by side and you're in between them, and you're going to sell it to someone who's going to bring danger into the neighborhood, because whatever reason it is, we know that this person's a violent person. He has a record, he has a reason to think that he's going to be a criminal, and you're bringing a criminal into the neighborhood, that is something that's usher. And certainly if it's, rehabilitated murderers that they're making a halfway house, that would also seem to be a danger to the neighborhood unless they really do a good job in their jails. Now that seems to be the halacha. Now, this Tzubacha Yavio, he's quoted in the past, he says, if that's the case, that you can't sell it to Akum, who's dangerous, certainly, he says, Kol Shekein, you can't sell it to a Jewish family who has children that could ruin the Ruchnius in the neighborhood. He says, and he says it brings a Kol Shekein from an interesting tshuva. The Machane Chaim had a tshuva. He said, "What's the, there was a, someone had a, built a building, a house where he lived in, and he had a one room that he could rent out, and he asked the Shaila, who should he rent it out to? He has the choice of renting it out to a non-Jew or to a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos." So the Machane Chaim answered, it's better to sell it to the non-Jew because you don't want your children to be learning anything from a family who's going to teach them bad things. You know, they're assuming that they're going to be convinced them not to have a Tinnik Shanishvaz. They were talking about someone who was really going to try to convince them to do Averus. There's more likelihood that a Jewish family who has problems in their home will cause the children to go off the derech than someone who's completely not Jewish, that you don't have any shaychus with. That's the tshuva of Tuvecha Yabiyu, that he says if it's usher to ruin a neighborhood by selling a house to so an Akum is dangerous, Kol Shekein, to sell it to a Jew who's going to bring in Ruchnius problems into the neighborhood. I'm not sure, there was a shaila once I know by someone that someone bought a house and rented it to neighbors who were in Shomer Mitzvahs and they were always sunbathing out in the backyard all the time. Now, can you stop them from doing that? Because that's also, is that causing a hezek, uncomfortability to the people next door? I'm not sure how far it goes. He's talking about where his lashon is. So also lahasir limkar gear lemishpacha sheyiladeha alulim lahazik. You can't rent it to a family whose children will be mazik mivchina ruchnias l'shar yadi hashkuna, who will unfortunately cause the other children in the neighborhood to lose some of their ruchnias. You can't sell your house to someone like that. Now, you know, I don't know if it means if someone you have to move and you put your house for sale and a nice Jewish family comes in. I don't know how much you have to, you know, check all their children to see whether they're really good, but you know, if you know it's a problem, you can't sell it to mobsters, whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish. Around 1969, 35 years ago, there's this periodical Hapardes. It's been many years. So 35 years ago, 36 years ago, it was a big problem where people were moving, running from neighborhoods to start new neighborhoods because in their old neighborhoods, houses were being sold to people that were perceived as dangerous criminals. And the Pardes had a tshuva from the Lubavitcher Rebbe of the time, whether that's mutter. And it was no game for him in Crown Heights and other neighborhoods. And he wrote a long tshuva. I have part of it printed here about how a terrible thing it is to cause a neighborhood to change. And how can you say so? Is that important to us? We're not Chabad Hasidim. But the next issue, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva. He had just become the Nasi of the Aguda, and he wrote a tshuva saying that the tshuva that you had from the Vavitcher Rebbe the last month, I agree with 100%. I would write the tshuva myself, but he did such a good job, I don't even have to write the tshuva. It's usher to sell your house in a way that's going to ruin a neighborhood. Now, what is the reason? What are the reasons that he says? So first of all, he says, he goes through the sugya we just learned in Kuf Ayin Hey, Sif Mem, where we tell you you're not allowed to sell it to someone who's not going to keep the halachos, but we said there, Hatayrim, that if you can't find a Jewish buyer, so then you can sell it to the Akum because you don't have a choice. So he says that that's only talking, like we said, where it's only a problem of a monetary issue, financial problems that could incur from having someone move next door that's not going to keep Dinei Torah. And there we said, it doesn't matter whether he's an Akum or someone who's a Jew who's not going to, a mobster who's not going to listen to Dinei Torah. But he said, if you sell to someone who's dangerous, someone who's a criminal, so there's no hetero. I couldn't find anyone else to sell it to, so therefore I'm going to sell it to this person who's a criminal. You can't do that if you're going to ruin a neighborhood. Right? So he says, the Rush isn't talking about such a case. So that's his first thing, he says, which fits with what we said. Then he says a second tanya, which I don't think we would agree with so much. The second tanya is, because if you sell to such a person, the hezek happens even before you sell it. As soon as people hear that you're selling it to this criminal, to this person who people perceive as a criminal, what happens immediately? The rumor, I don't know if you've been in your times, but I remember in my days that immediately everyone starts getting nervous and they start putting their houses for sale. All of a sudden you see 10 for sale signs in one block because they heard that a criminal is moving into the neighborhood. And so what you've done is you've caused immediate hezek to these people because now their houses are worth less money. Right? You caused immediate loss in value. That's being mazik their property. So that kind of, based on what we learned last week, I'm not sure is so pashut, because that we said according to some sofer, there is something called a hezek if you drop someone's property and value. But we learned that many achronim said that the Chassam Sofer, I don't know what you do with Chassam Sofer, but from the Rush, it was mashma that the Rush said the only time you can you're not allowed to do something that's going to hurt your neighbor is if it's going to affect the usage of his property, or it's going to maybe cause physical harm to himself. But if he still uses his property the same way, we talked about building that ugly extension, it's not going to hurt him. He can still use his property the same way. The only thing happens is that his house is going to be worth less, so that's not a cause to stop him from making that extension. That's not called a hezek. So same thing over here. If the truth is, it's really a law-abiding citizen who's moving in, and he's not going to cause any real harm to the neighborhood. It's just because people are afraid and they're nervous, or maybe he is a criminal, and it's something that's in their mind, but they can really live in their house the same way as they did until now. Nothing's really going to happen to them bad, and the prices go down because of a fear. It could be that would not be a cause to stop someone from selling the house to such a person, because we learned dropping in value is not a real hazard. However, the other time he says that if it really is going to bring danger, that you'd have to ask a shayla. Well, you know, certain times and certain neighborhoods, certain circumstances are different. Will this certain buyer be dangerous to the neighborhood, whether he's Jewish or not Jewish? And in Jewish we say not so much in a physical danger, but Jewish we say in a ruchnius danger. This person will be bad ruchnius for the neighborhood. So there seems to be, from the Tshuva Sagaonim, from Moshe's Tshuva, there seems to be real reason to pause before you make such a sale. So reviewing what we learned tonight, the first halacha, which is Din of the Gemara, a clear halacha: if you're selling your house and your next door neighbor is a Jew, you cannot sell it to someone who will not keep Dinei Torah. And if someone wants to sell it like that, we put him in Cheirim until he accepts upon himself all the losses that are going to be coming to his former neighbor, who's a Jew. We said there is an exception if there's no Jew available to buy at market value, and there is an Akum who's willing to buy it, then you can sell it to the Akum. Whether you should or not, once again, ask the Shaila, see what your circumstances are, whether you want to do it. But the second thing we learned is that if the person you're selling it to is going to really cause danger to the neighborhood, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's next door to a Jew or not next door to a Jew. You can't sell your house to someone who's going to cause the neighborhood to go down. We saw with Mar Bodhazari, you can't make a shchuna of Akums that's going to bring sakana to the Jews. You can't sell your house, once again, either to a Akum who's going to bring physical danger, or even to a Jew who's going to bring physical danger. And with a Jew, you have an added problem that you can't sell it to a Jew who might bring a ruchnius danger to the neighborhood. And that seems to be the stock of to Achayabi or of Yosha's son-in-law, along with other posts.